Hey, sweetie.
I'll pull it to you.
Oh, no.
You know, that's what it is. It's basketball. It's not a soft sport.
I'm going to be a man, and if you don't stand for something, you'll fall for anything. This man just gave me a job. I'm not signing that shit.
There's a lot I got to say, but I ain't going to do it here because it's free today. I ain't going to curse.
All right, NBL Pocket Podcast, Pocketeers. Some people say Vin Scully. Some people say Walter Cronkite. Some people say Ray Martin. Some people say Liam Santamaria. Some people say Boddy Nodge. I say Max Becker. My guest today is Max Becker from the Sporting Max podcast. It's a great little podcast. You've got to listen. I listen every week. Great guests like Joey Wright, Haddon, Dean Vickerman, NBL, plus a wider range of sports. Max is a really good sports journalist, a great question asker, because you know why? Because Max asks questions he wants to hear the answers to, and then he takes the time to listen. It's a rare trait. Before we launch into this interview, a couple of quick things. Still got a couple of copies of Marvelous behind me. $30.50. Normally you pay $60 for a secondhand version. Great handbook on the league. If you're going to buy any other book, buy it through Booktopia. Maybe you want to buy a copy of Paul Shirley's Ball Boy. He's a former guest on the show. Do it via Booktopia, helps the show. And if you really like the show and you want to support it, much like The Breakers, for example, you can become a patron, and then you can read some of the articles we put up there that we write following the press conferences and things of that nature. But that's enough of that sort of stuff. Right now, it is Max Becker. This is exciting. I've got with me Max Becker. Max, why don't you introduce yourself?
Yes, my name is Max Becker. I'm 14 years old. I've got my own podcast, Sporting Max, on sort of iTunes, YouTube, Spotify. I've had guys like our former NBL Southeast Melbourne Magic star, Andrew Parkinson, Parky, D-Mac, legend Darryl McDonald, guys like Joe Lewala-Chul from Melbourne United, and then, of course, guys from the AFL like Steel Sidebottom, and then Aussie cricket legend Brad Haddon.
I mean, the episode, I listen every week. Listen every week, particularly to the NBA ones, man. and the NBL ones. Oh, you're welcome. Joey Wright is a personal favorite. I really like that episode.
Yep.
I like Joey Wright.
Yeah.
He was that great.
He's a good bloke. Just because he's so open about his experiences and what he's doing and all these sort of championships and coaching now with our transition sports. Yeah.
Yeah, he's fantastic. And yeah, as you say, very open. And he was very complimentary of you. I think at the end of it, he goes, Max, you are one of the best reporters I've ever had. Well-researched questions. That was very nice of him. And very honest, because I think the same thing.
Yes. He's a generous man. So he loves to give away and teach the younger generation of basketball all about the game. And he loves to have a chat, you know, pre-chat, after chat. He's a nice guy.
Now, Max, you said you were 14, so that makes you, what, year 9 at school?
You're right. I just turned 14, yep.
Just turned 14, okay. What's your favourite subject at school and why?
Depends, of the sort of elective subjects. It's got to be HPE because, my love of sport. Love to do as much physical activity as I can and get as much to that out of that sort of subject. And then, I love that at school. And then, or maths class. I'd like to think I'm half decent at maths, but I give it a red hot crack.
My favorite subject at school was always English. I liked reading and writing. My podcast, the NBL Pocket Podcast, is sponsored by Booktopia. I don't know if you've heard. What are kids reading these days? Because when I was at school, Paul Jennings books were real popular. What's the thing now? What are kids reading?
So the stuff I'm reading sort of things from Matt Logue, journalists. There was one book that I read late last year. I think it was the 25 best sort of NBA and NBL Australian basketballers to come out of Australia. So I think
Hoop Dreams Down Under, is that it?
Big Dreams Down Under, that's it, by Matt Logue. And then most kids are reading those sort of Matt Christopher books about MJ and KD, Steph Curry, guys like Dwight Howard, and then there's obviously sort of Shaquille O'Neal, Kobe, those kinds of things. Depends what you're into. There's some science fiction books, and, I'm sort of into all I like the sort of reporter journalism and then the sort of autobiographies and things like that. It's specifically sort of about the NBL and I'll order the don't know if you've heard Lindsay Gaze, the he's brought out his own autobiography, so I'm really keen to get onto that book and have a read of that.
I have read that, and I had Lindsay, I actually spoke to Lindsay for the podcast a couple of days ago now. That episode will be out pretty soon. He's great. You'll enjoy that book. The other book I want to talk about is a guest I had on my podcast called Paul Shirley. He used to play in the NBA. Yep. He's got a new novel out called Ball Boy. It's about a young kid, probably about your age, who moves from Los Angeles to a small town and uses basketball to kind of have a good time with it. That's a good one you should look into. But I want to ask you this, Max, what's your favorite sport and why?
Sport, basketball, mainly because I first started off doing Aussie hoops and I sort of cracked that at like 5 years old. I think I was a bit shy and a bit nervous. Mm. And then I trained for a year just out in the street with a few of my neighbours who were a couple of years older than me, and they sort of taught me a bit about the game, and then I started to play. And then as I got older, and specifically sort of last year throughout COVID, I started – like I've always liked the NBL, but then sort of started last year, I think it was, I started to really get into the NBL, and like halfway through last year, I was really into the NBL and wanted to explore that kind of and promote the Australian League, because I think what we have here on our home soil is just fantastic, and some of the talent we've got in the league for NBL 21 is just incredible.
Tell me about it. I want to shift speed. I want to talk about your podcast, the Sporting Max podcast. How do you get your guests? A lot of people ask me, how do you get people on? How do you get your guests?
Yeah, so I get my guests. So I look at their sort of social profiles and who I think would sort of fit into sort of interesting story, might have had a couple of struggles, injury struggles, maybe life struggles, that kind of thing. And then I'll just reach out to them, I'll message them, you know, explain a little bit about myself. Look, I've got a podcast. I've had... say like Parky, Steel Sidewalk and Brad Haddon, I'll say like three guests that I've had. That varies between who they might know. So say if I was reaching out to, I've reached out to Mason Peatling, I released him a month ago or so. And I've reached out to him and I said, look, I've had, you know, your coach Dean, I've had Justin Schuler, Joe Lewalichul, Reese Carter, said, you know, we want to come on. And he was a really nice guy. And so grateful for, you know, what he's had the opportunities in his life.
Do you announce your age? Do you go, I'm 14 years old and I've got a podcast? Or is that a bit of a surprise when people pop onto Zoom and see the camera?
So when I sort of reach out to them, I say, you know, look, I'm 14, got my pod, this is my podcast. Yeah, right. And Joey Wright respond, and I know Lee Jecker used to play under Joey Wright. And sort of catch up with him a bit. And he's messaged back on, yeah, he's like, Lee Jecker's my man. Sort of things like that. He thought it was pretty awesome. And then, like, Steel Sidebottom, he thinks, you know, like 14-year-old, like how many 14-year-olds are going to be doing a sports podcast and interviewing guys like Homicide and Liam Santa Maria and all that, those kind of things.
That's fantastic. And I think when people ask me how I get my guests, my answer is I just ask them. You know,
you just ask. You reach out and you just ask them. So whether that's you direct message them on Instagram or you might email them or I just went on to, you might not know, Brett Finch, he used to play in the NRL, played for Melbourne Storm, South, the Dragons. And so I reached out to him, I don't think anyone's going to really pick up. I don't think anyone's going to pick up the phone. But he picked up and it was certainly shocked the daylight out of me, that's for sure. That was incredible to have a chat with him and sort of tell him about myself. And, yeah, so I got an interview with him tomorrow and that should release in March sometime, yeah.
I'm assuming that, you know, the question I pose to school kids is, you know, what do you want to do when you grow up? I'm assuming it's something in journalism. Do you like writing side of it or do you prefer more the podcasting broadcast side of stuff?
So I love all of it. So I'm hopefully going to release the podcast website, just sorting out the domain name now, release that sometime within the next month and we'll get that up and running. And then I can sort of create articles on maybe guests that I've had on my podcast or something I want to write about the NBL or the AFL or NRL or something like that. And I can just start writing articles. I love to write sports articles, and I definitely want to get into some sort of journalism, commentary, broadcasting, podcasting, all that kind of thing. I reckon maybe sort of in the NBL somewhere. I'm really interested in that sort of field.
Speaking of the NBL, this is a question I have for you. If the NBL tapped you on the shoulder, if Nick Johnson, the media communications manager for the NBL, tapped you on the shoulder and said, Max, we like your stuff. We like your podcast. We want you to create content for us. What would you like to do in the NBL content space for us? What would you say?
I think I'd say I'd just love to, you know, maybe write one article a week, let's say, or one article every fortnight, and then sort of make a podcast or two and get guests on that might have had some struggles, sort of similar to what I'm doing now, but really get into a bit more NBL things and talk NBL with them and then their life and sort of story and things like that. And then that's the content I'd create, and then, yeah, I'll just see where it goes from there.
I want to pitch you an idea. Here's what I'd do. I'd call it, I'd have a TV show for YouTube or SBS, whoever wants it, called NBL to the Max. It's you. You're walking on court. You're interviewing players. You're talking to coaches. Man, if I was the NBL, I'd have you at huddles. I just love the idea of having you there. I think that's a great image for the league. And you'd
I want to get into sort of something like, you know, like commentating, courtside reporting, that kind of thing.
I think you'd be fab. And the best part is you've got – how tall are you, Max?
Oh, we're pretty short for my age, mate. I'm probably five foot.
Even better, because you could like scurry your way into the huddles. You could get into places that taller people, you know, you can go undetected. Mm-hmm. I think that's actually an asset, the height there. Max, I got to ask you, you're based in Melbourne, but I'm still going to ask this question. Who's your favorite NBL club and why?
NBL club, Melbourne United, specifically this season because of their depth that they have at the moment. Yudai Baba, you know, he's such an elite and sneaky athlete. He dunked it on, I can't remember who it was for the Perth Wildcats. I'm sorry, but he dunked it on their head and he just came straight from up the court the other night. And he's just a sneaky athlete. Like Mason Peatling said, you don't think he's going to get there. You think you're going to be able to stop him, but then he'll go and just dunk it on your head.
He's crazy. But then
you've got the depth of having Shea Illy on your bench, which obviously, unfortunately for Shea, he's injured. But then that's sort of an advantage because, you know, you've got veterans like Dave Barlow, who else? Mason Peatling's come off the development player for a few games because Shea and Chris are out. And then you've got Sam McDaniel, Sam Short, And then you can't forget about Hobson, which I think Scotty Hobson's really going to start to get ticking along and get moving as the season progresses. He tried a couple of spin post fadeaways against the Wildcats that just didn't go down for him. So hopefully he sort of finds ways to get to the basket or his three-point shooting hasn't been too bad to start the season.
Let's go the other direction. Who's your least favorite NBL club and why? Least favorite to watch? Well,
my least favorite used to be Illawarra because when I was younger, say 9 or 10, I didn't think they'd sort of always come out and I'd go watch and I'd be like, oh no, here we go again. Illawarra's gonna beat us again. And then my least favorite now, it's a tough choice. I like all the teams, maybe New Zealand because of how good they're going to be as they gel together as a team. They're going to be a scary team towards the back end of the season, you know, with the Webster brothers and Lamar Patterson, those kinds of guys, Colton Iverson, just to name a few. But I think Illawarra have certainly gone, I think they've gone up to second on my favourite team list now with Tyler Harvey, Justinian Jessup, Justin great. Simon, and obviously big Brian Gorgian coming back into the league, certainly a major factor of that.
Yeah, very good coach. Who's your favorite player and why?
It's out of Josh Giddey and Chris Golding, I reckon.
Okay. Why Josh Giddey? Why Chris Golding? That's interesting.
Giddey because what he can do sort of offensively, we've seen him sort of make a couple of baseline cuts with the ball and a couple of dunks, a couple of layups. And we saw the other night he put up a three and knocked it down. So that just shows how I think some people were sort of starting to doubt him from the 3-point line, but now he's his three-point shooting is only going to get better from here. And then, and what he can do in transition is just incredible. And I think his athleticism and the way he can pass the ball and his game IQ is so high that he's going to be a top NBA player in the next sort of in the draft.
And why Chris Golding? If one of the two, why Chris Golding? What do you like about him?
Golding won because, you know, his form is so good at the moment. Up until he's sort of had that injury.
Yeah. Yeah, that then, dunk too, right? He's showing something new this season for sure.
Yeah, the dunk, the hops off the foot, the 1 foot there, and the dunk off near the baseline. That was incredible. And then, unfortunately, that injury is just going to set him back. I don't know if he's going to come back in this, make it by the end of the NBL Cup. I hope he does for his sake and Melbourne United's sake. But his form is meant to be incredible, the best he's ever been shooting in a preseason or sort of in his career. But I think what he can provide for Melbourne United, he's sort of leads by example. He doesn't boast a whole lot about his game. He doesn't.
He's one of the precious players in the league. That's the best part about him I love the most. He's very flashy. But sorry, Max, interrupted. Go on.
But he doesn't like boast. He doesn't go talking up his game too much. But he's one of the great best shooters in the history of the NBL, and his defense and the defense he plays, how hard he hustles on defense and how hard he works to set the guys up and help out Dean and the coaches and whatnot, is just insane, I think.
You know, Max, you're making me look bad because a little while ago, Chris Anstey put out a tweet. He asked the question, who's someone who's overrated in the NBL? And yep. I said Chris Golding, and boy, people didn't like that. People didn't like it at all. And here's my point. Here's my rationale. Yep. He's a really good player, not denying that. But I mean, people love that guy. He's got a very high reputation. So it's even though his production is high, the reputation is exceedingly high.
Even higher, yeah.
Even higher. So that's why my answer was there. You don't think he's become too perimeter oriented? I know we were just talking about that dunk. This season he was showing more athleticism than last season. You don't think he's become too perimeter oriented, like too many outside shots? Or you dig it?
I love his outside shot, but I think we saw in the FIBA World Cup, I think, when was that, 2019, that he showed that he's not just a perimeter shooter and that he can get inside and work the ball around the key and take shot mid-range jumpers and then get it to the hoop. And I'm certainly looking forward towards the back end of this NBL 21 season to see him develop and keep progressing inside the key and putting up some shots inside the key and layups and sort of reverse and maybe another dunk or something like that.
Maybe another dunk. I think there's every chance. Hopefully he comes back from the injury. I think they missed him certainly going in. I got to ask this one, Max. Who's your least favorite player and why? And it can be your least favorite player because they, I don't know, maybe they're, I don't know. You tell me your least favorite player and why.
Least favorite player.
Is there anyone that bugs you in the league? Could be the way they wear their hair. Could be the shoes they wear. Could be anything.
I reckon I wouldn't say he's the most least favorite player, but the one that just pops straight to my head is Dejan. Just because of the damage he can do to a team, and that's purely mainly why. No reasons against him or anything like that. It's just because how great he is on the offensive end. The other night he had, I think it was 20 plus points, maybe 26 points. And he can certainly shoot the ball and help out. And then you got Casper Ware, who's just getting back into his groove like he was at Melbourne United.
Going back to Giddy, who's better, Giddy or LaMelo Ball in the NBL? Forget the NBA stuff with Ball. Who's better? Who would you rather have on your team, Giddy or LaMelo Ball?
I think I'd probably rather have Giddy.
Oh, you're out of your mind, Max. You're out of your mind. Let's hear it, though. Let's hear it.
I think Giddy, because of what he can do, and he sort of leads, and he's been elevated to that starting role by Coach Connor Henry, who's, I think he's doing a great job leading the guys so far. And Giddy's what he provides for the 36ers. I think him and LaMelo are sort of, I think Giddy's going to go a bit later in the draft than LaMelo, sort of between 10 and 20, I'm projecting him at. Mm-hmm. But what he does, he can lead. I saw a steal, like he scored, and then, oh no, sorry, he missed, he missed the floater, and then someone, the opposition's gone and got the boards, and then Giddy's quickly hustled. He's hustled, but he's only gone to quarter court, and he's got a steal and dunk. So that's what he can do for the 36ers. I don't want to compare him too much to LaMelo, because I guess LaMelo sort of had a different environment to work in at Illawarra. I know he had Josh Boone and guys like that, but Giddy's got guys like who can provide guys with experience, I should say, like now Brandon Paul coming into the team who can shoot the three ball, Tony Crocker. And then I love Isaac Humphries, who he's obviously making a really good potential MVP candidate for this season, making a name for himself. Him and Giddy are a fantastic duo. I think they're passing and to each other and with the team and with the guys. And Tony Crocker, obviously playing pretty good, solid basketball, and he's just an all-round leader with the experience that he can help out this 36ers side.
I take the Mello ball, and the reason why is because the Mello ball's handle was just unreal. No one could touch his handle, and as a result, he was able to get anywhere he wanted on the floor. And while they didn't get the wins that team, I think the rosters are, LaMelo Ball would have killed for someone like Isaac Humphries.
Top of that,
you know what I mean. Go in a different direction. Back to your podcast. If you could have any guest, actually, let's go this. If you could have any guest from the NBL, who would be your dream guest to interview from the NBL?
Current player or former player?
Any whim and wish you want, Max.
Gazy, I reckon.
Gazy
would be incredible to get on the podcast, and I've actually got you might have heard about it, the Andrew Parkinson Golf Day it's this Friday. You might know Parky's got cancer, and they're holding a golf day, so the sponsors like Hoop City on board, and then guys going, so there's a party hole, long distance hole. Brad Key's going to be on that. Gaze is on the party hole. I think I'm going to go and do a bit of media there.
I think I've been to a pub called the Party Hole, but that place closed down, shut down long ago.
But Wayne Peterson, the voice of Melbourne's going to be there. Chris Anstey, Leonard Copeland, all these kinds of guys. And I think it'll be awesome just to sort of speak with them and interview them and maybe make a bit of content. I think that's the sort of plan.
And you're going to that. Do you play golf a little bit?
No, I play golf. I play golf, but no golf for me on Parky's golf day. Bit of media and ask a couple of questions. And, so I think that's sort of part of the golf day and what we've all got planned. It's going to be a great day.
Fantastic. That's a good idea. Gaze, well, I'll tell you what. I'll see what we're going to do. Max, question for you. Who's going to win the NBL title this season and why?
This season. I'm not sure who's going to win the actual championship, but I can tell you that I think it's going to be Illawarra is going to hold in that top two, and it's going to be a Melbourne United-Illawarra championship series. I think that'll be really interesting because United just held on to beat Illawarra the other day, and obviously we know Illy or Golding, by the way. But Illawarra are looking dangerous this season and certainly on the hunt to hold on to that top two, if not top four, inside that top four. And I think they'll make the championship just purely because of the guys they have right now and the work that Gorge is doing with them sort of behind the scenes that you don't see every day is just going to boost them. And he's going to develop all these guys into sort of the elite category that can – sort of move and do everything that he wants them to do.
You're going against modern convention, Max, because I look at it this way and I think there's something like the MVP has been on the championship winning team something like 30% of the time. And I mean, whenever we talk about NBL championships, the team that always comes up is the Perth Wildcats. Do you like that team? Do you think they're going a long way? What do you think of the Perth Wildcats?
I think it's out of them. I know United, Illawarra, Phoenix are on the cusp of the top four. I know Kings, they're on the cusp. The Kings, Perth, I think they're certainly making the top four. There was a lot of doubt in them before this season started, having lost a few guys like Damian Martin and things like that. But what they've shown with John Mooney and Bryce Cotton is that they can still work like clockwork like they used to do. And Bryce Cotton's obviously still there leading this team. I think he dropped like 29 points on Melbourne United the other day. He's just an incredible all-round player and shooter.
I agree. Was it last night? Yeah, last night in the press conferences, I asked a question of Jock Landau. I said, because Cotton had 20 field goal attempts and Landau had only 11. And I asked him, do you think you're getting the ball enough? And he gave an answer. It was a good answer. He was like, you know, we share the ball kind of team. Do you want to see the ball go to Landau more? You're a United fan. Do you want to see that ball in his hands more, shooting more?
I think what they've got with Landau at the moment, he's clearly a quiet achiever, but he's quiet achiever sort of as he gets down low and as he provides those dunks for you, and then he can shoot the three ball. Whether it's in his hands or not, that's up to, you know, the coaches and the players. But he'd certainly do great with the ball. But I think they're looking for someone who's not going to – nothing against Sean Long. He was a superstar for United last season. But they need a centre who's doesn't demand the ball all the time inside the key and is going to shoot. And I think what they needed was sort of like Jock Landau is he can shoot the three, he can get inside, dunk. But then he's also so strong on the off O boards and the D boards that, and his passing is exceptional that I think that's what they need. They need a bit of a mixture of everything and fit into their club culture, which Landau clearly does that.
What did you think of Melo Trimble last year? Because I was a big fan of Long and Trimble. I saw their deficiencies, but I liked them both. I thought Trimble especially, like he was a guy who scored and scored at the high percentage stuff at the basket. Like he was, you know how Cotton gets the foul line a lot. Melo Trimble was sort of a clone of that. Not quite as good, but, you know, really close. And in those semi-final games against Sydney, you know, Melbourne were that close to making the grand final.
They were both neck and neck in that.
And those two were the best. Long and Trimble were outstanding. What do you think about Melo Trimble? Like, because think about it this way, Melbourne's got an open import spot. You know, do you think they should bring in Melo Trimble or someone like it? What do you think?
I think Trimble went to Spain, so I don't see them getting Trimble back at this stage in the season. I think it's handy to have that extra import spot for if, say, I'm not saying this is going to happen, but if Scotty Hobson did get injured or another superstar got injured, that you can bring in another import that's going to be a superstar and that's going to help your team to win a championship. But Trimble, last season, I think he was probably averaging probably 20-plus points a game, let's say.
Something like that.
And probably 5-plus assists. And then what he leaded for United, and then he could shoot and he could score. But then I think I spoke to Dean Vickham, and when was it? It was when he was on my podcast, the podcast in episode 15. What's that? That's a while ago now. but he said that Trimble didn't quite fit the club culture, so I'm not sure what that means for Melbourne United, but what that means. But Trimble, I know it looked like on court that him and Long gelled obviously really well, and you can see that from what those two sort of post on their socials and everything like that. But yeah, I don't know, man. Like Trimble, I thought they were going to hold on to him, and I was like, they're going to hold on to Trimble, and like next season's going to be a championship season. And so then neither of them came back, and I wasn't sure of what they were going to do. I was like, this is a bit sort of risky, you know? And then I heard the rumors go around, you know, about Scotty, and I was like, is this going to get done or are they going to leave it late? And then that kind of thing. And then they announced Jack White, that they signed Jack White, and I was like, yes, that's a good sign. He's got the experience of playing with Zion, captaining Duke. And I saw a clip the first day he arrived at United, him and Chris Golding, CG43, were having a three-point shootout, and he was knocking down an unbelievable amount of those shots. So shows what he can do, and he's obviously put that all on display so far this season.
I mean, I like Trimble. It's interesting Dean Vickham would say, oh, he didn't quite fit the culture. I think maybe the United culture didn't fit Trimble and Long. But that's a topic for another day.
Yeah.
Maybe. Max, I want to ask you this one. Your favourite NBL commentator and why? Actually, let's go with your commentary team. If you had to pick three guys to do the commentary the rest of the way for the NBL, who are your three favourites and why?
Can there be a courtside reporter?
There can be a courtside and three guys. So obviously, you'd be courtside. They'd go downstairs to Max. Who would you like?
And I'd go Corey Homicide.
Yep, me too.
Liam Santamaria, because of the stats and analysis that he can provide.
Gotta have it.
It's unreal. And then I'd say Gazy, just clearly because he's
three for three, Max.
He's really funny, and what he just sort of commentates, it brings a bit of life to the panel.
Who's doing courtside? Can I throw out a name?
Cam Luke.
Cam Luke's doing courtside. Okay.
You know,
not John Casey?
John Casey or Cam Luke, out of those two guys.
Maybe both of them. One can do one side, one can do the other.
Yeah. One's in on one of the huddles and one's in on the other.
You know, one's in the crowd, one's on the court. They swap it up. You know what? That would actually work pretty well. Max, I'm trying to think if I've got any other questions for you. No, I think that's all I've got written for. Is there anything you want to say or anything you want to talk about?
Maybe just Cairns and Machado and Oliver.
Yeah, man.
I think
amazing.
That what they're brewing up at the moment, Machado, 26 points, 29 points last night. And Oliver, I think he only had the 9 points, but he makes a big difference on the boards. And the dunk he threw down earlier this season.
On Moller and Hunter. Wow.
Yeah. Obviously, that was a deadly dunk. But what they're brewing up, I think they're just gelling all together. But then you need some guys like maybe Jared Kenny and Nate Jawai that possibly need to step up. But I can see them sort of racing up the ladder as this season progresses.
I totally agree, Max. I think this NBL Cup's going to be good for them. I think they got a little complacent coming into the year. They had a lot of home games. They thought, oh, yeah, we'll win these games. And then the real season starts later on, and they got stung a little bit. The question is, are they too far behind? They're like, what, 2-5, 2-6, something like that. They got a bad, but they seem to be making it up. I mean, they beat United, didn't they? Is that it? No, sorry, they didn't beat United. They beat Illawarra. Did they play? Yeah.
I think it was Illawarra,
Illawarra. So they got a good win there. Like, that's one that, you know, you would have thought they had no chance in with the way they lost the games, but they're coming back. I did have a question for you.
Mm-hmm.
Who's going to finish bottom and why?
Bottom.
Who's the worst team in the NBL?
Worst team in the NBL for NBL.
I'll let you think. I'll give you my answer and I'll let you think. I think it's going to be the Adelaide 36ers. I think they're starting to lose a few games. They're the first team to get rid of an import. Never, you know, a bit shaky ground, never a good feel. Yeah. They've had a lot of home games and won most of them, but only just. And now they come into this cup. They go onto the road. They're on the road for a long time. I think Adelaide are poised to, unfortunately, take a tumble. Who do you think?
Yeah, Adelaide, they might take a little bit of tumble. I think all the teams are close to the cusp of top four. Mm. But
if New Zealand
within this sort of NBL Cup, if they can't lift themselves off in the first week or two, and then, you know, it just all could be downhill from there. So I think New Zealand are possibly going to be on that bottom spot of the ladder if they can't get themselves up and moving in the next week or two in this NBL Cup.
What about Brisbane? I mean, I saw them play last night. I thought they were really flat in the fourth quarter. Like, I don't know what they got outscored, but it was by a lot. Mm. They really, really died there at the end. I don't know if you saw that game, but what are your thoughts on them?
But you see guys like Nathan Sobey go out and still dominate.
Mm.
I mean, and then he missed the spot for the Boomers. I don't know what was going on there.
Yeah, he's hurt by that, huh?
Yeah. So obviously, I don't know if that's had some sort of impact on his mindset, but he's come out and just absolutely dominated against Melbourne United. He had 20-odd points last night, 20-plus, and what he's doing. And Matty Hodgson had 20 last night, and he's playing coming off the bench, you know, so... I think there's a lot of positives for Brisbane Bullets in that squad. Tamuri Wignes gets going, and there's a couple of extra points a game for the Bullets. And then Jason Kadee and Drumick's only just getting started, 16 points last night. He's only just getting rolling.
Yeah. I look at that team and I look at coach Andre Lemanis, and then I look at Gorgian. Like, I look at what Gorgian's done with the Hawks. Like, that team is fun to watch. They're aggressive. They play really well. And then I look at Brisbane Bullets and Coach Lemanis, that team doesn't play the same.
It doesn't play the same way as you'd expect them to play. as the Boomers coach coming from the Boomers and still with the Bullets, but they're not playing to that level that Gorgian is now, and obviously he's going to bring those sort of vibes and feels into the Boomer squad.
Let's end on the Boomers. One last thing. Ben Simmons, let's talk about him. Do kids in Melbourne, like I would have thought, you're a kid in Melbourne, you'd look at Ben Simmons, who's also from Melbourne, and everything would be Ben Simmons, you know, like he'd just be the guy, you know. Is he popular in your school? Is he one of your favorite players? What's up?
He's definitely one of my favorite players, and it's something that me and my mates and kids at school certainly debate all the time about, you know, whether he's good enough to get to the next level. I certainly think he is. He works a bit on his shot and off he goes, but there's so many doubters out there sort of at our school who think he can't get to that next level and he can't shoot. He's never going to be able to shoot. I mean, he works on his shot a bit with sort of Seth Curry. He's one of the best percentage shooters in the league and Philly have him. So I think they should hopefully make good use of him and give Ben a maybe a training session or something with Seth and just work on his shooting a bit. But we can still see that Ben's and Coach Doc Rivers said it, like even when Ben's not scoring the points, he's still leading for us. Like he's the leader of our team, he's still leading for us. And then you get Joel Embiid who's just dominating every game, obviously. So
yeah, no. Actually, I've got one last question for you. This is an investigative question. What kind of content do kids your age consume? So you're watching the NBL, right? Do you watch mainly the full games? Do you watch the highlights of the games on YouTube or do you use Twitter? Like, how do you engage with the NBL specifically? What kind of content do you like?
So I watch pretty much every NBL game, no matter what, where
on
I
what
am,
platform? TV SBS or Twitch? SBS on demand, not Twitch.
Not Twitch.
Man, I'm going to get you in. I'm going to get you into commentate a game with Andrew Canyon and I'm a co-host. You can come and commentate a game on Twitch. But sorry, yeah, you were saying SBS on demand.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yes, I usually watch it and sometimes I just pretend like I'm calling the game or something like that. But I certainly love to watch every game and then afterwards I'll go watch the highlights on the Instagram or YouTube or something like that. But then sort of most other kids at my school, they don't watch the NBL. So I'm like, come on, man, like start getting into the NBL. That's why I want to promote it a bit and get it out there. So that more
what's their answer? Why don't they? What when they say, "Oh, I don't watch the NBL because," do they say because
they just go, "Oh, because the NBA is better because it's the American league because it's these guys said." But
that's
look
not
at
the attitude, is it, Max?
Exactly. It's like look at the sort of talent we have in Australia, and that you can just go watch in Melbourne any weekend you want.
For a tenner, right? Yeah, this is what I say to people. It's like it's basketball you can touch. The NBA is it's beautiful. It's a great game. It's a great thing to watch, but it's only ever on TV. Whereas the NBL guys, you can go and you can yell out at Chris Golding something complimentary or perhaps not so complimentary. You can do whatever you want. You know, that's the appeal of the NBL. Yeah, I'm with you on that one.
But like kids at my school, they're sort of all NBA. They're so consumed in that sort of NBA environment that they're not sort of, I guess, into the NBL. But
what do you suppose they're so into the NBA? What is it, because there's more content of the NBL available or more kid-centric stuff?
I think it's because the sort of jerseys available and then you've got guys like Michael Jordan and things like that who have come from the NBA, which is where I look at, like, say, Andrew Gaze as a Michael Jordan of Australia, you know what I mean? Like, I love Michael Jordan and everything, and, like, no disrespect to MJ or anything like that. He's a gun player, but
he was pretty,
you know, that's America and everything like that. But I want to promote the NBL and the league that we have here in Australia.
So the kids are very, like, they quite like, there's a commercial element to the NBA. Like, you've got the video game. Do you play that? Is that popular amongst your age group?
Yeah. So they've all got the NBA game. I sort of don't play too many video games and sort of watch the NBL all the time and research and things like that.
I think you've nailed it there. I think the NBL is a hands-on league, a very active audience, whereas the NBA is a bit more of a passive audience. Watch, buy some stuff. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah.
Well, Max, you got something?
No, it's all good, mate.
Max, that's all I've got for you. That's a real – I enjoyed that. I enjoyed learning what kids are into today. Thanks for coming on. We'll have to do something in the future. But where can people find you? As in
so they can find the podcast on you know, iTunes, Spotify, YouTube, sportingmax.podcast on Instagram. Check it out. We've got some certainly fantastic episodes coming up. Mark Bisby and Melbourne United part owner, and Chris Anstey's coming on the podcast. I just interviewed him, so that should be an awesome
good
episode,
man.
With Chris.
You know, and I tried to get Anstey on my podcast, sent him a message like, yeah, let's do it. And then it didn't happen. So I might have to send another text. Max, thanks a lot for chatting. I really appreciate it.
All right. Thanks, Joseph, for having me on. It's been awesome to come on and have a chat.